to have another opportunity to hear Dr. Joel Seropoli again this evening. We've spent the last couple of days trying to make some contacts with other brethren in the area, and it looks like we have, after his 10-day trip to Louisiana and Texas, he's scheduled to come back to Central Pennsylvania June 1st for a morning and evening service, and also possibly in the near future, also a trip to Western Massachusetts. And we just heard tonight, now there's a possibility of further contact with Toronto Baptist Seminary, Jarvis Street Baptist Church in Toronto. So continue to pray for the Lord's guiding and provision for Brother Joel as he seeks support for his church planting efforts in northeastern India. We're going to open tonight with a hymn, and then we're going to have a little bit different music than we're perhaps accustomed to. But we have some hymns translated, or choruses translated in Telugu, Brother Joel's native tongue, as well as Hindi and Tamil. So we'll be doing that shortly. I want to remind you that any money that is put into the missionary box back in the back is designated for Brother Joel. And it is our intent to not only give him hopefully a sizable contribution for his time with us, but also to commit this church to a regular support of his ministry on a monthly basis, so that he has some ability to plan for the trips, for the transportation needs, for the support of the orphanage that he operates, and also for the further expansion of the 16 churches that he's already planted, as well as other church planting areas in northeastern India. May I remind you of the need for constant prayer because of the danger and the resistance put up by some of the more radical Hindus who don't want the gospel. So please keep Brother Joel and his team of co-laborers for the cause of Christ. Amen. Let us open with hymn number 387, a good missionary hymn. I love to tell the story. It ought to be a message that we practice individually and not just through a missionary, but for each, but especially for the missionary outreach. I love to tell the story. 387. Thank you, Bob. After the time of music, we're going to turn it over to Pastor Robbins for a prayer and for a few final words before we introduce Brother Joel again. But for now, we're going to stay in the Trinity Hymnal, and we're going to have a little duet by Brother Joel and Hannah. While they set up here, Nathaniel's going to pass out these words.
Follow along with us. It's song number 477. Stand up for Jesus. Let's do the first, the second, and the last verse.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross.
Second language there is Telugu, which is my mother tongue. I'll sing it for you and we'll repeat it. I don't expect you to learn it immediately. You can work on it for the rest of the year.
Praise and come, hallelujah, all the way, Lord. Bhavara Manta Boyene 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 Nabhavara Manta Boyene Pratipapa Manta Yu Yesura
First tongue service you've had, I guess. These are known tongues. I guess we'll try it again, one more time, the Telugu part, and then I'll sing it in English. We'll all sing it in English and we'll go to the next song. Boyene, 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 na bababara manta boyene. Boyene, 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 na bababara manta. Sing the second song. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing to it. Unless, until we get to the languages, of course. I think Hannah's going to help me out with this. She's going to do sign language too. Can you help me out? Well, the whole Walls family can help me out. Please.
Yes.
We've been singing for the past 2-3 days together.
Yes.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Well done. Would you like to help me out?
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, from my heart.
Thank you. just a little song I wanted to share with you. Oftentimes, our lives are too busy for the Lord. The song says, take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Hope it's a blessing to you.
Time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take a little time in the morning, and you'll feel better all day. Take a little time for Jesus to get down on your knees and pray. He took the time to die on the cross so all our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, the thing to do, take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Sometimes you may be in a hurry. You have so many things to do, but don't forget about Jesus. He didn't forget about you. He took the time to die on the cross so all our souls, they would not be lost. If you find yourself slipping and a thing to do, take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
Brother, I didn't know you could play. Our brother's majored in, along with his Bible studies, at the University of Louisiana, Shreveport, mass communications. He actually did the DVD, and I'm delighted. Will you join me with prayer, please? Stan, would you please? Our Father, we're grateful tonight that you have given us this occasion, these three services, and then in between the occasion to meet and to know our brother Joel Serapoli. Our Father, we're glad that he loves you and he's given his life to serve you in India, and we're concerned because the gospel needs to be given to the wretched, and they need Christ. We're concerned, Lord, and we're asking now that you would watch over him and his team going into those areas, those tribes. We pray that you'll continue to give them a missionary spirit, and that, our Father, that you have given us the confidence in these meetings to know that you're still working evangelistically, savingly, in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. How we desire that we might be recipient of such blessings here. Perhaps we need to be given the gospel more. But we are praying for Brother Joel and his family, that you would help him, and especially now, and we understand that temperature is up over 112, 15, and how difficult it must be to operate under those conditions. And so we pray for those native pastors, and as they want to serve you, give them a wisdom, Lord, and strength, protection, meet their needs, spirit, soul, and body, and likewise for Brother Joel and his family. And they were thinking about the TV program that has been canceled because of lack of funds. And Father, you know about this. And you know how needful it is for the gospel to be given in that hyperbolt. In India, 7 million people or so need to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that that may, again, be a tool that Brother Joe can use to give the gospel. May needs be met there financially. And then we're asking that you might help him, maintain him, give him courage, strength, as he goes about the work there. We pray that relationships, as he meets with these different people, that there would be a working of your spirit and hearts in preparation for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so once again, we're asking that you would meet his needs spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically as he serves you there. And our Father, we pray that your very best would be given. And now tonight, encourage our hearts as we consider these precious truths concerning missions. In the name of the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us, we pray. Amen. I'm looking forward to the ministry of the word. Brother Joe, if you would please now.
It's been an honor and a privilege for me, a great blessing indeed, to be among you folks. I've never been in this part of Pennsylvania. I've never been in Pennsylvania before, but the country is beautiful, and I know it's the people that make it beautiful. And especially having churches like this, it's a blessing from God. And I believe this country is being blessed because of the faithful few, as much as there's so much negativism on the media. Yet I do know that God has, you know, the preservative, the salt of the earth. It's strewn all over the country and all over the world. So we praise the Lord for that. It's been an honor, like I said, and Brother Walsh and his family have been very gracious in opening their home to me. I am thankful for that, and I don't know how to repay you folks for your love toward me. Thank you, Brother Robbins, for allowing me in your pulpit to share the work in India. And also to share the word with you. And thank you all for being so attentive and for being so concerned and burdened about the work there. It is not easy, sir.
Our privilege.
Thank you, sir. It is not easy to ask a person to go and tell them to give up what they've believed for thousands of years, what they feel inherited from their parents, from their great-great-great-great-grandfathers. I mean, how easy is it for us to give up something that we believe? It's scary, if you think about it. And some things that we hold on to. Our belief system is our security. This is what I believe, that's what protects me. And so our belief system is our security. And here we are going into a nation where there's total paganism, heathen, wretched, people who practice human sacrifice. You've seen on the video, putting babies in front of cobras, hoping that God will not kill them. And by that, they expect that to be proof that the snake is a god, etc. The places where I go, they do still kidnap people. Once every year in April, they do commit human sacrifice. I don't much talk about what happens on the mission field, because if you open that subject, it can keep us here all night long. There is much to say. But if you go and ask someone to give up their belief, which they believe has protected them through thousands of years. One of the strongest forts in the mind of the Hindu is that their religion is the oldest religion in the world. That's their security. And you go up to them, they say, well, your religion is new. It's just 2,000 years old. Your Jesus came 2,000 years ago. Our religion's been around for over 5,000 years. How do you deal with that? It's not easy. But by God's grace, only by His grace, He does shake their conscience. He does move their hearts. He does penetrate into their thoughts to dismantle those forts, to take apart those bindings that hold them in that fear and superstition and guilt. It's a conscious thing. And by God's grace, we have seen many, many thousands turn to the Lord Jesus Christ by His grace alone. I've had many people, Hindus, staunch Hindus, who have come to me with fear and trepidation. They come and they ask me, "Brother, we would like you to come to our house. In our house, we have always believed that there is a God in our house. They have treasures hidden under their ground, which has been hidden for thousands of years maybe. And they ask me to go and dig it out and take it out and put it outside because they still haven't developed the faith enough to do it. Not the courage enough to do it. They want to trust the Lord, but they know they have to get rid of their idols. Their idols and their superstitions that they hide buried under the ground. And they ask, please come and take those out. They feel if they take it out, that God might jump on them and kill them. So if we stand in a very precarious position, is what I'm trying to say. When we are doing these things, you know, there's a lot of magic spells around, a lot of fetish, a lot of shaman, a lot of heathen black magic practices and voodoo, which we deal with constantly. I don't even mention it in the video or even in my presentations, but being the third time I'm with you through this week, I thought it might be a time to be a little open. This is the kind of things that we deal with. And many times when I dig things out, there's human hair, there are things which you would not believe that come out of there. These people are held in fear. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. I do believe God has an elect in India. I do believe that.
Amen.
That's why He's using us. That's why He's got a great door, an effectual door of opportunity before us. And I do not believe it's a coincidence that you folks and I have met. And I don't think that anything ever happens without the purpose of God. And you all know that I was supposed to be here last year itself, in the fall of last year maybe. But it was not God's timing. This time was, I believe, God's right time. And it was His ordination that it should happen this way. There's a, like I said, a great and effectual door open to us. The enemy, many times, human mind is the enemy. Not many times, but all the time. That's why Paul writes in the book of Corinthians, casting down imaginations and every thought that raises itself against God and His will. Human thought to even destroy our ministry many, many years. And by God's grace, He has kept us. He has brought us out from much untruth. Many things that I myself had been studying, and the Lord brought me to convictions on some things. Due to those convictions, we had to lose a lot of support. Unfortunately, the TV ministry got affected because of that. But through God leading me into churches such as yourself and fellow churches who are now calling and making appointments to hear about what's going on in India, we pray that God will put feet back on our ministry, that we may move forward with a little peace of mind, if you will. There is a day of redemption, amen? There is a day of justification. And though the people who don't agree with what we believe may not like it and may want to dismantle what we have to say and have to do, God does not let it happen. And though our story may not be told to the world, it is told to those few people hidden in those mountains, somewhere in a village, in a hut, sitting in fear, in darkness, in superstition, where they have no light. It is those people we want to reach. It's not the name, it's not the fame, it's not the money, it is not me. It is He who has saved me.
Amen.
As the book of Romans tells us, we are dead and our life is hid with Him in Christ. I love that verse. And that's why Paul says, I am crucified, nevertheless I live, yet not I. I pray that it would be true in our lives that it is not we that we live, but it is Christ. And that's what missionary work is all about. Evangelism is all about that. I have many friends who have gone to the mission field, couldn't hack it, if you will, excuse the expression. They couldn't make it. Because it was out of their comfort zone, maybe. Whatever the reason, I just believe that they were out of God's will, maybe. But they can't do it. Not everybody can take the mission field. It's, I don't know why, but I believe we have our heart in the right place. I believe we can take any challenge that the Lord has for us. I don't believe the Lord would tempt us above that which we can bear. And along with the temptation, He provides a way of escape. And it has happened to us many times in the mission field, and does happen to us. We're constantly on the threat of voodoo, these sort of things on one hand, terrorist factions on the other hand, and then fundamentalists on one hand, the government on the other hand, so on and so forth. It's a constant pressure that we deal with. But I believe He is faithful. Mm-hmm. His hands are around us, His wings, mm-hmm. as He says. He told Jerusalem, I have wanted you as a chicken does her chicks under her wings, but you would not. But those who have come, we know the refuge in the wings. Amen? Mm-hmm. His wings are powerful. His wings are strong to protect us. The government has passed many laws against evangelizing. The government has passed laws of anti-conversion. As you've seen in the video, 7 states have already implemented them. India has 27 states. The southern part of India is quite open to the gospel, the southern part of India. And our heart pulls us to the northern part, where these anti-conversion laws are in effect. That's where the gospel does not penetrate, because people are militant. They will fight you every step of the way to stop you from getting the gospel there. So the southern part of India has been, quote-unquote, infiltrated by the gospel, Catholicism, etc., Protestantism. And now, what a unfortunate thing, but Joyce Meyer and all these guys getting up there and messing up the whole thing. The southern part of India has heard the name of Jesus. Now, the northern part of India, many tribes still haven't heard the name of Jesus. And these anti-conversion laws, let me just explain to you how it works. You are not to convert anyone into Christianity. And they count conversions by baptisms. How many people you've baptized. And if anybody goes to the government from our ministry and tells them, hey, this guy baptized me, then I'm in deep trouble. In India, they still practice a caste system. Caste system divides people according to their profession. The Brahmins, who are the priests of the Hindus, are the highest caste. If we are caught converting anyone from that religion, the government imposes a fine of 5 years imprisonment and $5,000 on us. You have to pay a $5,000 fine and 5 year imprisonment if you convert someone from a higher caste. If you convert someone from a lower caste, it would be 3 years imprisonment and $3,000 penalty, and so on and so forth. It's not an easy thing. We just pray, and by God's grace, so far the conversions that have happened have been genuine, and so no threats against us from internally. But there can be a setup. Somebody could, spy, out of spite, set us up, take baptism and say, hey, this guy baptized me, and go to the government and put us behind bars. So it's always on our doorstep, such things. But this is the reason why I believe that we need to have a sponsoring church. And by God's grace, God has given us a sponsoring church, Providence Baptist Church in West Virginia, and fellow churches to stand with us. If you hold the anchor here, we can sail the ship there. Otherwise, we'll be lost. We need an anchor. And by God's grace, you have the role of playing that anchor for us, and it's our ministry. I believe you can make it your ministry. I would also like to invite you folks to India. I can't describe the things on the mission field to you with my mouth. It's an eye-opener if you could come and see it. What great things the Lord is doing. It is the salvation of one soul that's worth it all. Isn't that what Jesus said? Yeah. Right? What do angels do?
Rejoice.
One sinner comes to repentance, the angels rejoice. So I believe it is worth it. My life given for one soul is enough for me. I'm not here for thousands of souls. Although by God's grace, we have been able to lead many to the Lord. So far, since 1991, the Lord has allowed us to go into regions where the gospel has not reached yet. Many slum areas. We have started 16 churches so far. Baptized thousands of people. And started these churches and trained pastors to take up these churches. And also there's an orphanage, which I don't mention much about, But for tsunami-affected people and things of this nature, we do have 10 children who are being housed in a rented house. There's a family that doesn't have children that takes care of them. The Lord's just blessing. The Lord's just blessing, and it's just great to be in the center of His will. So I want you folks to continue to pray for us. The Lord has given me a good family. My wife, I wish she was here, and my boys. But the Lord has given me a beautiful wife, a wonderful helpmeet. I would never be able to do it without her. It's His grace. He knows who to give us, doesn't He? She's a great girl. She's from England. I thought I might marry an Indian, but God gave me a girl from England. So it's just been wonderful. The Lord's been good to us. We want you folks to continue to pray for us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your willingness to look into this cause in India. Just look into it and see how great the need is. I would just like to share a few things with you tonight from the Word of God, and hand it over to Brother Walter Robbins. I'm going to the Gospel of John this evening. The Gospel ascribed to John. The 17th chapter. Just want to make quick points of the fourfold Christian life. The four-faceted Christian life. Four dimensions. John chapter 17, let me read from 1 to 5. If you would kindly honor the Word of God by standing with me, and we'll read the Word. John chapter 17, 1 to 5. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Shall we pause for a word of prayer? Father, we love You and thank You for loving us. You first loved us. And that's a fact, Lord, that we need to appreciate and, Lord, be thankful for the rest of our life. And Lord, we are eternally grateful for Your love, Lord, that has reached down to us and saved us. We ask You to continue to bless us as we venture to serve You. Bless this church. Bless the time of our meditation of Your Word tonight. Cleanse me in Your blood. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. And give me an unction of the Spirit that I might speak what You would have me to say. Lord, just encourage us. And things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Wonderful passage. The Lord Jesus praying, possibly the last prayer in His earthly life, and praying because He had finished His work. That verse 4, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. In the fourth chapter, He didn't say that. In the fourth chapter, His disciples came to Him and said, Lord, eat something. He said, I have meat to eat that You know not of. And they said, had somebody brought Him something to eat? In the incident where He met the Samaritan woman, it was noon. The Lord was sitting there on the well during lunchtime, sacrificing His lunchtime. I have heard how religious people are about their lunch. The Lord was not religious about His lunch. He sat there for that one soul. And He told the disciples, I have meat that you know not of. And they asked Him, what kind of meat? He said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. And he told them, think not to think within yourself that there are 4 months and then come at the harvest. No, He said, lift up your eyes, for the fields are white unto harvest. The harvest was right there. We always think it's in the future. No, we forget to see the harvest that's before us. But the Lord, on this earth, in the physical life, earthly life, finished His quota, if you will, what God had appointed Him. He finished that. And He said, I have done the work. I have finished that which Thou gavest me to do. I believe the Apostle Paul also used similar terminology in the book of Timothy, when he wrote to Timothy, I have finished the work. I have run the race. I have fought the good fight, etc. What a wonderful thing it is to say that at the end of our life, to say, Lord, I have done that which you called me to do. I pray that would be our position when time comes upon us that we must depart. But the Lord prayed such a prayer. Now, we need to notice that there was one express purpose with which Jesus came to this earth. As much as we give many reasons why the Lord came to this earth, there are, it's multifaceted. The Lord came to fulfill the law. The Lord came to save sinners. The Lord came to do this. The Lord came to do that. We might give 1,000 reasons. But there's one express reason with which the Lord Jesus Christ came among human beings. And that express purpose was to reveal God to man. You see, folks, until Christ came, man had no knowledge of God. As much as we have the Old Testament and holy men of God were led by God, even those holy men did not really understand what they were talking about. Daniel, for example, he said, Lord, what am I writing? The Lord said, seal up the vision, Daniel, for it's not for you. The time is long. Those men wanted to understand. They often yearned to look into these things. But by God's providence, in his sovereign knowledge, it was not the time for them yet. It was yet a time coming. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us a beautiful scenario of the hall of faith. By faith, Abel, by faith, Enoch, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham. We see all the people of faith. It says this, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Just notice that. So those folks, as much as God chose them, used them, blessed them, and fulfilled his purpose in their life, the complete revelation of God did not come to this earth until Jesus Christ came. This is where Hinduism falls on its face. Forget their antiquity. Forget their fascination. Forget our ideology. Nothing ever came to this earth. No light ever shone on this earth until Christ came. Now I'm speaking metaphorically and spiritually. There was a sun, there was a moon, yes. There was physical light around. But men were blinded in their hearts. There is a blindness that often men don't consider. And how were they blinded? The book of Romans tells us that their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Man developed all kinds of religions and philosophies before Christ came. The Greek philosophers, of course, Socrates and Plato, all before Christ. Man's philosophies, religions, just led him further away. And as I was mentioning on Sunday morning, Acts chapter 17, where Paul was speaking to the Greek people, and he was saying that in the times of ignorance, God winked at them, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent. So here we have a beautiful passage in third verse. That's where I want to focus, and I'll conclude in just 5-10 minutes. John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Until man knows who the true God is, there is no life in him. Physical life is not the apex, people. Physical life is beautiful. It's a wonderful blessing from God, but it's not the end of it. The physical life is only here for us to be enlightened into the spiritual life. As we sang, I love to tell the story of unseen things above. There are some things which have not, this eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard. But thank God the spiritual man can see these things, as the book of Corinthians goes on. Often 1 Corinthians 2:9 is misquoted, where it says, but the eye hath not seen, nor the ear heard. It goes on into 10th verse, it says, but God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. And the spiritual man understandeth all things, but the natural man does not understand the things of God. Thank God that God, through his knowledge and wisdom, has chosen some people to enlighten them to see the worlds beyond. Jesus came from an invisible world into a physical, visible world to reveal to us what that invisible world was about. And that's what it's all about here, third verse. This is life eternal. I just want to spend a few minutes on those two words, life eternal. The Greek words there are Zoe Aeonios. The word eternal, often we understand in the perspective of longevity, of duration. Aeonios is a word that is translated as age, often. And that's what it means. Aeons and aeons, we use that expression, don't we? That's a Greek expression, aeon. And Jesus said, Zoe aeones. The word there literally has implication, the life pertaining to this age, or to the age. What age? We know, I'm not a dispensationalist. I would never be one. I was one. I've come out of it. But I do believe in God's wisdom that in the fullness of time, God sent His Son made of a woman. Galatians chapter 4 tells us that. In the fullness of time, God has His timings, folks. God has His time. I'm not bothered with it. I don't want to be bothered with it. I want to bother with today what I have to do today, as I've explained to you on Sunday. Jesus Christ told us that. Journeying toward the sun rising. If I can deal with today, then I can journey toward the sun rising. If I don't deal with today, then there's no tomorrow. No sunrise. Remember that Sunday morning? And here we have it. The Lord is telling us that it is the life of the present age to know God and His Son whom He has sent, that is Jesus Christ. I believe He's speaking about the gospel here, the liberating gospel. Eternal life, as much as we have taken it to mean a duration, pardon me if I sound a little off the wall here, the countlessness of eternity is similar to the hair on our head. Jesus Christ said every hair on your head is numbered in Matthew chapter 10. Amen? Now, how many of us have counted our head? How many of us have a count on our hair? I don't know. I could never count that. That's what eternity is about. We don't know the number. He does. That's what I'm trying to say. We are limiting ourselves, or rather limiting God. There's no need for us to limit God. He knows how long it is, how many there are. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 7, if you will kindly bear with me. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 7. Look at this beautiful verse here. We often quote Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith. Praise the Lord for that. But let's read verse 7. Or 6 and 7, if you will. And hath raised us up together. See, it's mentioned in the past tense. And raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, what is the plural word there? Same aeonios. In the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Folks, God has a saving plan for the world. And it ain't finished yet. We don't know when it's going to finish. And I don't want to know. But I want to be in the center of His will. I want to be an instrument in His hands, where I declare to people the age, the present life that is available to us, the gospel life. Eternal life, as I was mentioning, as much as we like to understand it in duration, it is a countless life, as I was mentioning about the hair. How many of us know how many stars are out there? But may I be bold enough to ask, is there a number to the stars? Yes, there is. Who knows it? Amen. Psalm 144 tells us that. He hath numbered the stars and named them, He said. He called them by names, it says. He named them differently. We name them something else. God has a count on everything, is what I'm saying. God has a count on how many years we're going to live. It is appointed unto man once to die. So let's not worry about the longevity, is what I'm saying. As much as that is part and parcel of eternal life, that is not the ultimate purpose. The purpose of eternal life is more of a quality than a quantity. And often our focus is gone because we are looking forward to the quantity and forgetting the quality. Eternal life has to do with quality. A lawyer came to the Lord Jesus and asked Him, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" What is He talking about? The word there, eternal life, same thing. Zoe aeonios. How can I get the life of this present age? And the Lord told him, "You know the commandments, do." He said, "I've done them from my childhood." Oh boy, was he wrong. The Lord gave him a parable about this good Samaritan, we know that. And He asked him the question, which of these three men do you think was the actual man in the center of God's will? And the man replied, of course, the Samaritan. The Lord said, go and do thou likewise. Meaning, learn to live a life that is fashioned like God. The Bible tells us God is love. Let me quickly turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 20. 1 John, chapter 2, verse, or chapter 5, I'm sorry. The first epistle of John, 5th chapter, 20th verse. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. A Christ-like life is what eternal life is all about. Like I mentioned, fourfold life. Eternal life is heavenly life. It's a life that belongs to a different sphere. The sphere of a different world. Our feet are on this earth, but our mind should be in heaven, as mentioned on Sunday. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Above, again, the word, please be cautious. Above does not necessarily mean physically above on our head, the lights and the ceiling. No. Above is superior quality. We say that often. Oh, they're high standard people. High standard. See? It's above. God is above all. There's no one who can reach his standard. He is holy. I am holy, he says. No one can come to him because his standard is unreachable. And by his grace, he came down and made a way for us to reach his standard. Seek those things which are above, things which are superior. If your enemy slaps you on one cheek, what's the superior thing to do? Hit him back. No, that's what that's the human understanding, isn't it? He says, turn to the other cheek. If your enemy asks you to go 1 mile with him, what do you do? What's the superior thing to do? Say, I'm going to go two. The enemy is going to say, wait a minute, I didn't ask you for that. That's God. That's God, folks. As I mentioned again, or the Lord reminded us on Sunday, if we, being wicked, know how to give good gifts to our sons, our children, how much more precious gifts does the Father give to us, who is holy? Eternal life, as much as we brag on it, say, I've trusted the Lord and now I'm saved forever. Praise the Lord for that. But remember, forever implies a quality of life. The eternity implies a quality of life. May God help us to put our mind to it. Understand that the Lord Jesus came to this earth to give us a better life. Otherwise, we would be in the darkness that the Old Testament people were in. But the people before Christ, before the advent, if you will, they were in darkness. As much as they loved the Lord and served him and sought him, they were only groping in the darkness, feeling their way. Acts chapter 17, please go home and read it. Paul tells them, if we feel after him, we can find him. For he is not far away from us. He is close to us. May God help us to feel and find and hold on to that. Because eternal life has to do with spiritual life. It has to do with heavenly life. And let me tell you, it is the blessed life. Fourfold Christian life. A Christian life is an eternal life. It's a heavenly life. It's a spiritual life. It is the blessed life. And that's what Matthew chapter 5 starts with. The Lord opened his mouth and he said, blessed, blessed, blessed. We know the Beatitudes. You see, the first word that came out of his mouth was blessed. That's what Christ came to make our lives. We were a curse, but he made us a blessing so that we can be a blessing to others. This is the life that God wants in us, that we can give it to others. This world needs to see the love of God. This world needs to see the actual implication of eternal life. As much as, you know, we feel superior to others that we have eternal life, when we die we're going to be with God forever, thank God for that and all that. They need to understand that what God has given us is something not to be possessive of. It's to be given. Freely you have received, freely give. That's what Jesus said. So may God help us to understand these things. May God help us to seek the invisible things, the unseen things above, the spiritual standard. We often feel in our mind that Jesus Christ is still a human being, that he's still in his flesh or something. It's unfortunate that even Christianity has its own idols. They understand Jesus Christ as being some Western-looking guy. But let me read one verse for you and I'll conclude tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. One of my favorite verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The whole chapter is beautiful. I could read it, but I won't. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I will read for you. 14 through 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 17. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Folks, our life is hid in Christ. What we need to show the world is Christ in us. Now let me continue. 16th verse. Notice this verse. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. It's not a physical relationship. It's a spiritual one. God is the Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let me conclude with 17th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. As Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. All that was given to the saints in the Old Testament was a shadow, lest we forget. The Lord doesn't want us to live in a shadow anymore. The Lord wants us to live as a new creation in Christ, spiritually liberated, having spiritual heavenly life, a blessed life, which is a blessing to others. May God help us.
In a moment we're going to sing, but I really feel something that I myself plan to do, and that is I want to hear his messages, Sunday morning's message and Sunday evening's message again, and probably tonight's message. I'm hesitant to say this, but he has a family of four boys, and he looked at our bulletin board and he said, "Carlton,
Cameron."
He said, "You cut him off of a picture." And I thought, "Oh, that would hurt our father, wouldn't it?" So you tell him. I'm glad he isn't here. He'd be insulted. But I just want to say this: if you had a degree, we make a big deal about education. If you had a doctor's degree in mass communication, do you think that you'd have to worry about providing for his family? I mean, they'd hire a man like him. You know, I'm sorry, but this is it. But he needs to have sufficient funds. He could go out. He could leave the ministry and make big money. I know he could. But he's giving his life to the Lord. And he's using his training, and God's using him, and I'm just excited. I really am excited. I would desire, as we plan to pray for you, Joel, make it a reciprocal, because we need prayer around here, and we really do. Amen.
Amen.
And I want us to sing a hymn, and I want to warn you about something, because it's 6:32. I want to warn you just in case. You become sentimental on me, 6:32, and I don't want you to become sentimental on me, because this is a touching hymn, but I don't want to be. I want to be careful. We want to meet him again, and we shall if we know Christ. But he's gone into territory, friends, and I'm not just saying this. Even as they've had a terrorist, we believe, attack in India yesterday, and there's persecution that is real in India. You don't have to know too much to know it. It's tremendous. Now this hymn says some things. He's asking the Lord to be with him. That the Lord would securely fold him. He's asking that 'neath his wings, you heard what he said about wings of the under his wings, using the metaphor as a hen and chicks, neath his wings securely hide you. We're singing this concerning Joel and his family. And the life perils of stanza three, they when life's perils thick confound you, it put his loving arms around you. You say, well, now that's sentimental. Come on now. Just kick it out of that realm and think about it spiritually. And then the last one says, the blessing to ask God's love banner float over him, smite death threatening way. Will you sing this with me as we think of our departure from tonight? And hopefully we'll see you real soon, brother. Let's sing 632, please. You, Joel, and your family, and keep you. The Lord make his faces shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace through our blessed Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Richard, I love delightful.